The Bible says in Leviticus 25 and 10, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. This is the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. My name is Pastor Wynn Greer. I'm the pastor of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And I'd like to say good morning to you and good morning to Noah. He's over there on the other side working and producing and editing and whatever all else he does over there. How are you today, Noah?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good.
Yes. We want to welcome all our listeners we have today on AM 1450 right here in Boone, and also those listening in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia.
We hope everyone had a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. Mm-hmm. This past weekend, I had some people that thanked me for my service in the military because of Memorial Day, and I appreciate that. I do, but actually thanking the veterans is for Veterans Day, and Memorial Day is remembering those who died in the service of our country. And so we do appreciate the freedoms that we have. And so if someone is being honored on Memorial Day, it's because they gave the ultimate sacrifice. They gave their life in the service of our country. And so we do appreciate that. We honor that today. And also, I wanted to thank Brother Rick Cornejo, who was with us last Tuesday and sharing with us about the work of the American Legion and the work in the funerals, the military funerals that they do, and that's a great work as well. But we're just going to go right along in the Blessings of Liberty this morning. We have been studying now since the beginning of this year on the 28 founding principles which made our nation great. I found these, well, it's been well over a year ago now, probably 2 years ago. I read the book, The 5,000-Year Leap. It's a great little book. It gives a concise history, unbiased, of our nation. And it especially the founding of our nation, what went into the making of the Constitution. I mean, if you just want in fact, it says on the front cover of the book, it says Principles of Freedom 101. But it's got in the first, more than half of the book, 28 principles which made our nation great. And I began to think about that. You know, I thought about studying it, and I've not been teaching out of the book verbatim. I use a lot of stuff out of that book. But the Lord laid on my heart to go around it just a little bit of a different way. And what I've been doing since the beginning of the year, I've taken these principles, and I've said this many times, and I'll say it again for the benefit of those who may be listening in for the first time or second time. We've all heard, or most everybody has heard, America's a Christian nation. Well, why do we hear that? If our founding principles can be sourced out of the Bible, can be shown to come out of the Bible, then yes, we truly are a great nation, and that is why God has made our nation great. So we've been going back, and I've been following a little outline in these principles. First of all, we look at a scriptural principle. Is this principle really out of the Bible? And so far, yes, they have. They've all been. There's a scriptural principle. Then we give a historical example, then a present-day application, and I've tried to stay pretty close to that. And I'll be honest, I know that I've not done that the whole time. Sometimes we get started on something and go just a little bit different direction, but that's loosely the format that we have here on the Blessings of Liberty. And when we get done with this, which will probably be in the month of July, I've already had some other things I'm thinking about going into, but it's all along the same lines. But I'm thankful for our country. I'm thankful for the Blessings of Liberty. And that phrase comes out of the preamble to the Constitution, where it talks about the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. We do ordain this Constitution of the United States of America. Today, we're going to look at the 19th principle, which has to do with the 9th and 10th amendments of the Constitution. The principle says this: only limited and carefully defined powers should be delegated to government, all others being retained in the people. Now, I want to read that one more time. This is a principle that our nation was founded upon. that only limited and carefully defined powers should be delegated to government, all others being retained in the people. And I heard someone else ask this question, and I'm going to ask the same question today, and I've asked it before, where is the limit in limited government? We, in the day and time in which we live, we are seeing what I would call unlimited government, reaching into each and every aspect of our lives, not only on a local level, but on a state level, on a federal level. Government is growing and growing and growing, and it was not originally intended to be that way. Many Americans have the idea in their mind of, when they think about government, they think about Caesar, especially those that have a Bible background. And we've heard many times throughout our life what the Bible says about Caesar. And what I'm referring to specifically is in Matthew chapter 22, for example. That's one place. But the Pharisees came to Jesus Christ and they asked him about the subject of giving tribute unto Caesar, because the Jews, they were in subjection to the Romans at that time, and so they had to pay tribute, they had to pay tax to Caesar, and they came and they asked him about that. And so when he answered them, he said, show me the tribute money. And they came, the Bible says they brought him a penny, and he asked, whose is the image and superscription? And so they showed him, and the Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. That's in Matthew 22 and 19 through 21. We see what I'm talking about there. And so from hearing that, and that being repeated over and over again down through the years, people, they began to associate government with Caesar. And so when it comes to tribute and taxes, and if the government says this, you know, you have to do it because the Bible says, render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's. And so people associate government with Caesar. But I want to say this morning very emphatically, and what I would like for us, and I seen this in an headline to an article. I did not read the article, but I seen this headline several weeks ago, and it just simply said this: America has no Caesar. And what I begin to think about how true that is, we do not have a Caesar. Talking about Augustus Caesar, talking about a ruler like Caesar was, who was a dictatorial tyrant. He was a monster, really, if you study about it. He was an oppressor of the people. He was a monarch. He was a dictator. He was a Gaddafi type. You know, there's a lot of talk about Libya and getting rid of Muammar Gaddafi, or Saddam Hussein, or Mubarak in Egypt. He was that type of a person. He was a Caesar, but America has no Caesar. There are many Caesar-type personalities in the Bible. There's the Pharaohs, the different kings, the Herods. The Bible has a lot to say about living under a tyrant. But the United States, the way that our nation was formed, our laws, the president is not supposed to be a tyrant. Congress is not supposed to be a tyrant. The governor of the state is not to be a tyrant. The power is to be retained in the people. So we need to keep this in mind as we study about and think about our nation and how it was founded. If the people in the nation have no liberty, if they have no checks and balances, if their every move is dictated by the government in some way or another, then we're really not free. We don't have liberty. We are just slaves and subjects to a Caesar, but our nation was not founded to be that way. If you study about the history of the United States of America, what you'll find out is that many of the states were very reluctant to sign the Constitution without a further set of amendments that limited the power of the federal government. They wanted the government to be limited even more than it was, and many of them did not feel that the Constitution of the United States went far enough. So before they would sign, they made they had to have assurances that there would be a list of amendments that would give further freedom to the people and would further restrict the federal government. Many of the states would not sign the Constitution without the guarantees that there would be a set of amendments that further clarified the rights of the people. And what I want to read today and think about just a little bit is the subject of the 9th and the 10th Amendment. Now, all of the amendments are good. They need to be studied, and I think I might take some time later on and go through each and every one of the amendments, and especially the original ones, but the First Amendment, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom to assemble, freedom to bring a list of grievances and redress of grievances to that's a great freedom. We're not a free country without that. The Second Amendment, the freedom to keep and bear arms. And people are familiar with that. But once you get past the First and Second Amendment, it's sort of gray for most people. But the 9th Amendment and the 10th Amendment, I want us to look at this today because this specifically deals with a limited and carefully defined powers being delegated to the government and all others being retained in the people. The 9th Amendment says this: the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. And that's talking about our individual rights. Our individual rights are not taken away because of what we find in the Constitution. The 10th Amendment says this: the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. So in summary, and I'm not going to take time to go through the 9th and 10th Amendment line by line, but what they're talking about, the 9th Amendment is securing and making sure and talking about the individual rights. The rights of the individual shall not be taken away. The 10th Amendment deals with the states' rights. And the way they set up the Constitution, there was to be a dual power. The federal government has a power, and the state has a power, and the state keeps a check upon the federal government, and the federal government keeps a check upon the state, and they are actually to be in opposition one to the other. They're to keep each other in check. And so we see, and I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, how that right now in America, there are about 28 different states. I'm talking about such as the state of Florida or the state of Texas, and they are bringing a lawsuit against the federal government. Now, somebody might say, that's terrible, that's awful, that should never take place. Yes, that should take place, because the state, the individual states, have a responsibility when the federal government gets too large and begins to push its power upon the states. The states have the right, they have the responsibility to come back and say, no, you're not going to do that. You're getting too big. You are infringing. And let me say, that is what the start of the Civil War was all about. At the very beginning, it was not about slavery, although that was a very touchy subject in our country at that time. But it was over the taxation and the invasion of the northern states into the South and dictating to the South. That's why it's called in history the War of Northern Aggression. They were repelling the North that had come in and invaded, and the government was getting too big. And they said, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're not going to invade us. You're not going to do that. And so lots of interesting things we could talk about along those lines. But here's the really frightening part to this whole thing. And that is how little the average citizen is concerned about what's going on in our country. I've been keeping up with this subject of the Patriot Act. It's called the Patriot Act. It's been in place since 9/11. And what it does, it grants to the federal government the power to listen in on your phone conversations without you knowing it. It grants all kinds of things for the government to be able to do against private citizens. Your privacy is invaded. Your associations of people that you might call or email, they are all being judged by somebody. They're being looked at. You don't even know that that's going on. But the Patriot Act is really one of the most unpatriotic things our country has ever done. Or you look at what is going on in our country with at the airports, the TSA and the full body scans and going through security and them taking little old ladies and children and groping them and feeling and all of this stuff. And the state of Texas is suing the government over that, as well as healthcare and the state of Utah as well. And you come out in the news just a few weeks ago how that your smartphone, if you have a smartphone, has the ability to track you, your movement, and where you are at any time. And you bought that, and you probably didn't know that if you have a smartphone, and you might like that and you might not, but most people, they don't care. And they have the attitude, this is the attitude, well, if you're not doing anything illegal, you don't have anything to worry about. What does it matter if they listen to your phone conversation? What does it matter if they know you are where you are all the time? What does it matter if you go through security and you have to be groped and your privacy invaded and your morals, infringed upon? Well, if you're not doing anything illegal, you don't have to worry about that. And I'll be honest with you, this morning, once upon a time, I used to think the same thing. That crossed my mind. You know, after 9/11, people were very upset about what had happened. They were willing to do anything to make sure that this would never happen again. And so they had that mentality, oh, well, if you're not doing anything illegal, well, that doesn't matter. And I used to think that as well. But we need to take a good, hard look at the laws that we have in place to keep the government from infringing upon our rights, because I'm going to share something with you from the writings of Alexander Hamilton, what he had to say about a government that gets large and what happens then. He said this. Let me read a little paragraph out of 5,000 Year Leap. It says the people felt that the hedging up of the federal authority was absolutely essential because of their experience with corrupt and abusive governments in the past. And here's what Alexander Hamilton said about this. He said, there is, in the nature of sovereign power, an impatience of control that disposes those who are invested with the exercise of it to look with an evil eye upon all external attempts to restrain or direct its operations. And let me summarize what he's saying there. When the government gets so big and has so much power that it wants to do and work, after a while it begins to look with disdain and look at as an enemy anybody that would question what it's doing. Some of you may remember when George W. Bush, and this is not an exact quote, but he said something like this. He said it would be easier to be president if America were a dictatorship and he were the dictator. And he's the one that signed the Patriot Act, and Obama has signed it and signed it again. And I'll tell you, that's what we're moving towards in America. But people, they're not bothered about that. They're not bothered that our president is right now. He is subverting the rule of law by practicing warfare in Libya. Only Congress has the ability to declare war, yet we're fighting over there in Libya. For what? Who knows? He said it would be just a short time. It's been a long time. It's going on 70 days now, maybe even a little longer than that. The liberals aren't saying anything. The conservatives aren't saying anything about it. It's a sham. It's a disgrace. When the powers that be are not called into question on what they are doing. And so lots of examples we could give along those lines. But now, A patriotic person is looked upon as an enemy of the state. And I'm not the only one that is seeing that in our nation today. I believe it's fair to say that there is a storm brewing. There is there are problems with the government being so large and the media going along with anything that the government does. We have a anti-patriotic feeling in this country. I'm talking about by the government, by the media. If someone is pro-Constitution, they are cast upon in a bad light. I mentioned a few weeks ago a program called 60 Minutes on CBS, and they were just talking about those that believed in the 10th Amendment. Well, you know, the 10th Amendment is part of the Constitution, but they were anybody that was referring to the 10th Amendment, they lumped them all in together with homegrown terrorists and the Oklahoma City bombings, just casting in a terrible light anybody who would refer to the Constitution, who would say anything derogatory or critical of the United States government. This is going on in our country, a anti-Christian sentiment, an anti-Jewish sentiment. We just seen Obama saying that that the Jewish people are going to have to pull back to the 1967 borders. That is ridiculous. For anybody in our country to dictate to another country what they need to do with their security and their borders. I heard somebody say, well, why don't we go back to the pre-50s before Hawaii was a state, and then he wouldn't be able to be president. And, you know, I'm just saying, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. They have no business. We have no business telling them how to run their country, no more than they have business telling us how to run ours. But this is what is happening in our nation today. People aren't concerned. They don't seem to care about this. And I'm not the only one that sees these things taking place in our country today. But like I said, most people by and large are not concerned about it. I get letters from missionaries all over the world and all over the United States of America. It's always very interesting to read what they have to say and what they're going through. This is from a missionary that I have known now over 15 years, I believe it is. He's a very humble, very insightful man of God. And I was reading his prayer letter from last month, and he said this, and I thought I would share it with you. He is here in the United States of America. But he said this in his prayer letter. He said, "The Lord admonishes us not to grow weary in the work of the Lord, knowing that we shall reap if we faint not." He said, "In these troubled days, which are characterized by deepening apostasy, we now find that Bible believers are being attacked and vilified in many different ways, including by the mass media. I believe we are entering into days of persecution heretofore unknown in our country. Whereas biblical Christianity used to be honored in our country, proponents and inherent adherents of biblical Christianity are now suspect," and he has that in quotation marks, "by our ungodly and rapidly paganized culture. We certainly do need to pray that the Lord would bring a great awakening by His mercy before the end of this age." And I believe that with all of my heart. I believe the only hope our nation has is by an awakening of the grace of God in our country. They called the first great revival in this country, they called it the Great Awakening. And that took place just before the American Revolutionary War. There was a second Great Awakening that took place during and after the Civil War. And I'll tell you, we need more than anything in this day and time. We need a third great awakening. Hope for America will not come from Washington, and I do not believe it will come from anyone inside Washington. If there's any hope, it'll have to come from somewhere out of Washington, and it will not come from a politician. It'll come from the people that have been awakened to their responsibilities before God. But we see this happening in our nation, a deriding, a throwing off on, putting in a bad light anybody that's patriotic, constitutional, biblical, all along those lines. And I challenge anybody listening in today, you study what happened in Nazi Germany before and during the rise of Adolf Hitler, and you will find that the Nazis used the same tactics that are being used in America today. They incited a false fear among the people. They cast, and I'm not taking up for the communists, but they made the communists in Russia the national enemy, and they made the Jewish people the scapegoat for all of their problems. And I say today that we see that happening in America. There is a false fear among the people. Since 9/11, all we've heard is how we need to be afraid of the terrorist and raise the terrorist alert. But yet you go through the airport, and I have experienced this firsthand myself, somebody going through untouched who looks like a very likely candidate that they could be a terrorist, while I am pulled off to the side. One time we were going to Arizona from Idaho, and they had my little girl, who at that time was about 4 or 5 years old, had her off to the side. How ridiculous, how stupid people are. I tell you, that just still aggravates me today. But this false fear among the people that we need to go around scared all the time, and all this stuff. They use false flag events to start World War II. The Nazis, they burnt the Reichstag. They invaded the Polish border. These are facts of history. General Hugh Shelton, I'm reading a book by him. He talks about when he became the Joint Chiefs of Staff, that somebody, an appointed cabinet member at that time, came to him and said, "General, what we need in order to attack Saddam, we need to make him look really bad. Is there any way we could make one of those AWACS jets fly real low and make sure that Saddam Hussein shoots them down so we can attack Iraq?" Let me tell you, there's traitors like that in our government, whether you like it or not. They will do anything to further what they want to do. The Nazis use character assassination, and they controlled the government and the media and what was said. And my time is quickly getting gone today. They initiated and used citizen spying, that you need to look at your neighbor and tell on them if there's any suspicious activity. We see that today with Janet Napolitano and Homeland Security and watching and telling and all of this stuff and making everybody a suspect to be a terrorist. We see the same thing happening in our nation today. The gun control laws that the Nazis used, I know about this from firsthand experience. Our ATF laws, they might as well have come out of the same book. They had concealed carry laws just like we have in America today. When they got to the place where they wanted to take over, they had every law-abiding citizen's name, number, and address, and went around and took up people's guns and firearms so they could not resist. The scary thing is that by the time the citizens woke up, it was too late, and the boot of the Nazis was firmly planted upon the people's necks, and they couldn't do anything about it. You know, according to the Bible, the greatest evil this world will ever see is still yet to come. I'm talking about the Antichrist and what he will do during the Great Tribulation. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, "When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, and they shall not escape." The only way to escape what will happen is by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you're saved. I hope you placed your faith and trust in Him. He's the only hope we have. We'll pray for our nation. I appreciate you listening in today. Noah's going to give you the contact information. We'd love to hear from you. Noah, go ahead. Thank you for listening today.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you would like to contact us, the church phone number is 963-4596. That's 963-4596. Or you can reach us through the church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.